It is awards season in Hollywood. All of your favorite television shows, movies, actors, actresses, you name it, have been nominated for a variety of categories and awards. Now, every industry has its own version of the awards show, but no one really does it quite the way Hollywood does. Not only is there an award for being best actress or actor, but you could win that same award at the Golden Globes, the Emmys, the one for the foreign press, the Oscars, and I'm pretty sure there's a couple in there that I didn't even mention. And amidst all of the hustle and the bustle of all of these award shows are the red carpets, where the elite of Hollywood, they show up before the award show and they have their pictures taken. It's really quite the spectacle. And to me, it provides a very startling contrast to our passage from John's Gospel this morning, where we see Jesus walking down a road, and but for John pointing him out, no one would have even noticed that Jesus was walking down the road. And I believe that that's probably true today. That if Jesus were to be walking down King Street here in Coburg, or if he were to slide into one of the back pews on any given Sunday, we probably wouldn't recognize him as anyone special. It's, to me, a remarkable contrast, and it perhaps speaks volumes to where the priorities of society are placed. Professor Sherry Brown makes a note about this passage in John's Gospel. She says that John is the first human character to speak in John's Gospel. Up until this point, it's the voice of the divine and narrative control. But he, when he speaks, he takes control of the narrative and he teaches the how of the good news of who Jesus is. And as a side note, we should note that within John's Gospel, the individual who we call and refer to as John the Baptist is never referred to as John the Baptist in John's Gospel. And John the Baptist did not write John's Gospel, so we got another level of confusion going on there. But John the Baptist is just simply known as John, or is referred to as the witness within John's Gospel. And so if you were following along when I was reading, you're like, but the subheading says John the Baptist. Yes, it does. And an editor who translated the Greek put that there so that you would know who that character was and what was being referred to. But within the original Greek, John never refers to as John the Baptist as John the Baptist. It's trivia. I don't know. It might come up sometime. But we are also today within the season of Epiphany. So we have John who's driving forth that narrative of who Jesus is and the how of the good news. And we stand within the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany is one of those seasons where all is illuminated for us. And it really doesn't allow us to be bystanders to the good news. Following Jesus is really an active posture. Action, if you will, is a part of the very nature of being a Christian. And there are a variety of issues that require us to witness the love of God. Carolyn Lewis states that abundant life is at stake in our calling as a Christian. In her message to preachers this week, she continues, and this is a note that she's writing to preachers. She says, a sermon on the second Sunday of after Epiphany should communicate this need, this urgency of abundant life being at stake, and this necessity. Because if we don't, we capitulate to the assumption that God's revelation doesn't matter, or worse, that we are incapable of seeing it. And so what is this need? What is this urgency of abundant life that she is speaking of? Well, to me, in many ways, it is a question of identity and belonging. Who do we say that we are as people who gather Sunday after Sunday? Does calling ourselves followers of Christ, Christians, does it have any meaning or value, or is arriving here on Sunday morning simply something that we do? And I think on a morning like today, showing up on a Sunday morning says, no, it is more than just showing up. Is showing up requires us to have that active posture. It requires us to take action. To ask that question, to whom do we belong? And as Christians, we do not belong to ourselves, but to God. And the urgency. Well, look around. Look at the world. We entered the new year and the specter of a new war was upon us immediately. Vast disparity exists between rich and poor, not only in our country, but globally. The climate of the planet is changing, and we debate what and how that means. Interesting, the city of Barcelona declared a few days ago a climate emergency. And in their declaration, the city states, the current economic model is based on endless growth, consumption, and a permanent race for profit. This economic system threatens the ecological balance of our planet and has multiplied inequalities. Major European city coming out and taking this stance and working towards new targets. I think leading in some ways. But the season of Epiphany illuminates Jesus Christ in our lives, and some 2,000 years after he came, I feel a sense of urgency to do the work of the kingdom of God, because I see that disparity growing, not shrinking. Here we are in John's gospel, and the only person who recognizes Jesus is his cousin John. The only one who knows of the change that is required is his cousin. Jesus is otherwise unrecognizable. And to the world outside these doors, Jesus is unrecognizable. He is unknown to them. And yet the world is suffering. The world is hurting. And it could use a good dose of the good news. It could use the work of the kingdom in its midst. But that takes work, and that work is hinted at by John when he calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Now, this is interesting phrasing. It's well known, Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It's only repeated in Scripture once in the passage read this morning. It's the only time that it shows up in the entirety of the Bible, and yet it is an enduring image, Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And that image of Lamb of God foreshadows the death of Jesus right here in the first chapter of John. Because lambs were used in the temple for sacrifice. And the Lamb of God would end up being the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm not saying that we need to make the ultimate sacrifice to do the work of the kingdom. We don't, because that's been done for us. That's part of why Jesus came. And that isn't the call of the Christian to go out and to sacrifice our lives. Our task is to illuminate the sacrifice of Jesus and to continue his work. But there is still some sacrifice that's needed. The sacrifice of time and resources. Perhaps the sacrifice of traditions, of looking for new ways of being church within our communities. It's hard, and it's frustrating at times. And we see echoes of that frustration in that passage from Isaiah, the second servant song in Isaiah. About that text, Professor Juliana Clausens writes, this text offers some important perspectives for many individuals and communities who may be experiencing hardship today. And I know that within your own lives and within the life of our community and here in Coburg, there are people who are experiencing hardship today. She continues, "It is so easy in context of trauma to become overly obsessed with one's own struggle for survival. In such an inward-looking mentality that may be coupled with a circling-the-wagons approach focuses just on me, my family, my people, at the cost of the other. An extreme manifestation may even resort to scapegoating the other in order to solidify social boundaries." She continues, "The servant of God probably also could and should be understood as referring both to a faithful individual who is called to bring about healing and liberation for those in need." That's what we are called to do as followers of Christ, to bring about healing and liberation for those in need, to stop circling the wagons and to look outward. At the beginning of her commentary, she had a quote from Søren Kierkegaard, "The door to happiness opens outward." The Christian ethic of service to your community is evident in what has traditionally been called the servant song from Isaiah. And last week we heard the first of those, and today the second. And the text is contextually located where the people of Israel have been displaced and forced into exile when Babylon captured Jerusalem. And within that passage from Isaiah, you heard lament and frustration. And today we have lament and frustration about the situation and the systems that capture us. So I ask you, who do we need to be in light of what is revealed to us in Jesus Christ? John's gospel makes it very clear that we are to point to the truth that we find in Jesus, just as John does when he identifies Jesus as he walks down the road. "There goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we stand in the season of Epiphany, where the glory and identity of Jesus are first revealed to us in a public way. Are we willing to be public about who Jesus is and why we follow him and why that matters? Are we willing to divert our attention from the allure of the red carpet and all its spectacle and search in the crowd for the face of Jesus? Amen.